WEEI.
Welcome back to Southern New England Sports Saturday on WEEI. Scott and Nick with you. So, Nick, I do have a Patriots thought I just want to get to, just to kind of wrap up what we were talking about last hour.
Okay.
You know, I know, you know, Dan from Cranston was he teetering on the edge of maybe starting to write this team off and saying that they're heading down that slippery slope to mediocrity. And I'm not ready to go there. But the one thing I will say about Tom Brady is, and we agree that he could use a healthy Gronk back in the lineup. We all agree with that.
Yes.
But Tom Brady needs to start seeing the whole field and spreading the ball around to the guys that are open. And I bring up two guys, Chris Hogan and Philip Dorsett, right?
Yep.
I think if you remember, and we've talked about this before on the show, early in Tom's career, the old adage was Brady's favorite receiver is the open receiver, and he would spread the ball around to a bunch of no-name guys. I mean, outside of, you know, he had Troy Brown, he had David Patton, David Givens, you know. The bottom line is whoever was open, he'd get the ball to. I find that later in his career, he has become more locked in on guys that that I think he feels like he can trust, whether it's Julian Edelman or Rob Gronkowski. You know, maybe it was Randy Moss or Wes Welker. Obviously, these guys are greats, right? They're very talented.
Yep.
But at the same time, I feel that he does that sometimes to the Patriots' detriment. I think sometimes he passes open an open receiver to try to force one into Edelman or to Gronkowski. And I think if the Patriots are going to kind of pull out of this funk, particularly with Gronk on the sideline, Brady needs to do a better job of identifying the open receivers play to play and getting the football into their hands. You know, people say, what's wrong with Chris Hogan? I don't think anything's wrong with Chris Hogan. I don't know that Brady is giving him the opportunities that maybe he should be getting at this point in the season. So I'm putting this on Tom Brady. I think Brady needs to do a better job of finding the open guy and not necessarily trying to force it into the guy that he likes, whether that's Josh Gordon now, Julian Edelman, or when he's on the field, Gronk.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Looking back at some of the Tennessee game, there were times where, you know, because you bring up Chris Hogan and Philip Dorsett as you know, guys that you know, that he needs to get the ball to more, Scott. And I even look at like James White, and I think defensively there were times probably that Tennessee probably, you know, honed in on him, but at the same time there were times where Brady was forcing it to Josh Gordon, and there were times where I looked over and I'm like, dude, look to your right. James White is wide open. You know, check down. Don't try to force it. And there's times where you're right. He won't look at the open guy. He'll look at the guys that he trusts. But even then, I mean, he's still developing a trust with Josh Gordon, so it sort of makes me scratch my head a little bit. You're right. I think he needs to see the field better in general. You know, he's 41 years old. I'm not bringing up the whole he's fallen off a cliff thing. I'm not going there with Tom Brady. There's been too many times here where we've thought that, and then he's proved us wrong. Will Gronk being healthy and returning help out with seeing the field better? Maybe it will. But at times, I think he goes to Gronk too much, too. So I do think that he needs to see things a little bit clearer. I think it's fair to bring up at times where he struggles, you know, what would it have done if he was around for the OTAs that he missed and in the offseason? I think it's fair to bring that up. I'm not ready to totally criticize Brady for that yet, because there's been times this season where I think Brady's been pretty darn good. He's been the Brady that we've expected him to be. So I'm just not ready to make total conclusions about Brady in this season until this season is complete. Especially now they've got the bye week, they've got some time to sort of recalibrate, rethink things, you know, look at things differently. And, you know, we'll see how they respond out of this bye. That's what I'm interested to see with the Patriots. You know, what will the offense do out of the bye? What will it do when you get a healthy Gronk back? Because I think I expect him to play in New York next Sunday against the Jets. We had a texter that texted in and said, is Gronk playing Sunday against the Jets? Well, it'll be next Sunday, because obviously they've got the bye this weekend. So I think we're all going to be watching that Chiefs-Rams game, see how the Chiefs do if they earn a victory. You know, we'll see what happens with the postseason. But I'm interested to see how the Patriots come out of this bye. Usually they go into the bye feeling pretty good about themselves, but that was a pretty bad loss in Tennessee against the Titans. And so, you know, what will it look like when Gronk gets back with a healthier Sony Michel returning as well? yeah, we'll see. But Scott, it's a good point about Brady and just trying to find some guys that are more open and spreading the ball around more, because he's got the weapons that he needs. And when he does, you know, spread the ball around, I think it helps a lot of guys. And so if they can get a running game going too, that'll definitely help things as well.
Yeah, and you know, after this bye week too, Sony Michel should be a lot healthier, right?
Sure.
I mean, he came back for the Tennessee game, but
yep,
you got to figure he'll be much better in a week and a half, or now a week from now when they take on the Jets. So I'm confident that they'll be okay. Like I said, their schedule sets up well here for the final few games down the stretch. Their toughest game would be at Pittsburgh, home against Minnesota. They should win that. They're home, and then at Miami, you never know down there because they just don't play well in South Florida more often than not. But they have a chance to run the table here. I think at Pittsburgh, as I said, would be the toughest challenge remaining for them.
Well, and don't sleep on that Minnesota game either. I know you have it at home, and the Vikings have been, you know, up and down this year. But Everson Griffen is back for the Vikings too, and so that's a tough defense. That's a tough defense to come in here, and good thing you have him at home. But I think at Pittsburgh, you're right, I think it's probably the toughest challenge they face.
And to be honest with you, if you're looking at, or you're still entertaining thoughts of getting that number one seed over the Chiefs, it's not going to be easy, I'll tell you that, because the Chiefs, to me, have only really two tough spots left on their schedule. They're at the Rams Monday night.
Yep.
Okay, that's a tough one. And then they're at Seattle for, I think, Sunday night football on December the 23rd. But I look at their schedule. They're at the Rams, at the Raiders. They're going to win that.
Yep.
Home against the Ravens, home against the Chargers. I know the Chargers are decent this
Chargers
year, but in
decent.
Kansas City, you know, you like Kansas City at home. And they're home against the Raiders, too.
Yep.
So, again, at the Rams, at the Seahawks look like the two possible spots where they could slip up. But, again, they'd have to lose twice, and the Patriots would have to run the table to finish tied with Kansas City, and then you hold the tiebreaker because you beat them head-to-head.
So the head-to-head actually really helps you in this situation. So, yeah, we'll see how they finish it out, but the Titan loss obviously hurts right now. But if Kansas City can drop a couple and you can win out, we'll see. But having the bye, too, I think is important, and I think that's why that Pittsburgh game again, because Pittsburgh is hot. Pittsburgh is hot right now, and so, you know, if you can go there and win, that would obviously go a long way for you as well.
Right.
401-737-1287 is the number to call us. Text us 37937. We've got a few texts we haven't gotten to this morning. One of them, best sports weekend of the year. ATP tennis year-end finals. College women's basketball back in full swing. And the mother of all sporting events, the World Chess Championship in London. Magnus Carlsen versus Fabiano Caruana. I don't know much about the World Chess Championship. I apologize for our chess listeners.
Yeah, so I know who that text is from. It's from our friend.
Italian.
It's
gotcha.
From our friend Ed.
Okay. Ed, thank you. And it's
yes.
the first American is in the World Chess Championship since Bobby Fischer in 1972. Fun fact there. It's kind of funny. Every time I hear the name Bobby Fischer, I think of the Spartan cheerleaders from SNL. that's the first thing I think of was Will Ferrell and Bobby Fischer. Where is he? I don't know. That's sad. But anyways, okay, more texts here. Mike from URI. Hey, Mike. Says, can we get a shout-out to the Rhodey men's soccer team? Tremendous season, going the first six games of the season without giving up a goal, winning the A-10 tournament championship, making it to the NCAAs. Yeah, shout-out to Rhodey men's soccer, making the NCAAs a heartbreaker against UConn this week, getting knocked out. But tremendous season down there. And URI, really, really healthy athletics program right now, making an NCAA tournament there. Today, a chance for the Rhodey football team, too. If they can beat UNH at home, that's a winning season. It's the first winning season since, I believe, 2001. That would go a long way for that football program. And I think Jim Fleming, I ran into him last week, and he knows how important this game is. You finish 6-5 after the season that you've had, and that's a 6-5 where you had a couple of games where here or there, a bounce goes here or there. You know, you might be, instead of 6-5, you might be 8-3. I mean,
the main game is the one that just kind of really sticks in your craw if you're a Rhodey fan.
Sure.
You know, they probably should have won that game at home, but Maine came down and kicked that game-winning field goal as time expired. But in fairness to Rhode Island, too, you know, losing Lawson in the middle of the season hurt.
Absolutely.
You know, not he was such a weapon, and he's back, and he's playing well again. But losing Lawson, I think, was a was a big loss for them.
Absolutely. It hurt. It definitely hurt. You can take comfort in the fact, though, that Maine is actually, if they win at home today, they win the CAA. They're playing Elon today, and so if they win, they've got the conference title. So Maine has played really, really well this season. And so that's a team that you battled to the end. It took a game winning field goal to beat you. So, if you or I can win today, that's obviously a big thing, for the program going forward too, that you finish at 6-5. Also, Texter says, and I did look this up too, and it's important to note, Mookie Betts isn't a client of Scott Boras. He does not have Scott Boras as an agent. I think it was probably brought up this week because Boras was talking about the MVP voting and was talking about J.D. Martinez and how he thought the baseball writers got it wrong, and he blames Mookie Betts, I think, because of the season that he had for J.D. Martinez not getting MVP.
Why did I think he was a Boras guy? Is he not? Who is his agent? Does it say?
I think it's like Legacy Agency, something like that. I'm not sure who his actual agent is, but he's not a Boras guy.
My mistake.
For
some reason, I thought he was a Boras client.
Yeah, well, you'd think that. He's high profile. High profile, you'd probably think that. But
So J.D. Martinez has Boras, is what you're saying?
Yes, he does. Okay. J.D. Martinez does. I believe Xander Bogaerts does as well. And I think Jackie Bradley is, too. I'm not totally sure on that one, but I know Bogaerts and Martinez.
It may be Bogaerts. Guys. Maybe I was confusing with Bogaerts.
That. Yeah. But he's still going to be looking for top dollar, Mookie Betts. He's going to be looking for top dollar. And I think it probably serves him best to go to the market as a free agent in 2 years. And he talked about how much he loves Boston when he was interviewed by the writers after winning MVP. He said Boston's grown on him, and you know it was fun to bring a championship back to Boston and whatnot. But he's sort of along the lines of what Kyrie Irving was before Kyrie stood up in front of that big crowd at TD Garden and said, "I'm going to re-sign here." It's sort of along the same lines. And I think that makes sense, especially because right now you're looking and you're going to look and see and you're going to watch closely what happens with Bryce Harper, because Bryce Harper is going to set a table here. He's going to set a precedent. I mean, it's whatever mega deal that Bryce Harper gets, I think Mookie Betts is going to look at it and say, well, you know, Bryce Harper's Bryce Harper, but here's my average. Here's my statistics. Here's what I do for a baseball team.
Right.
I want more. That's probably what he's going to say, honestly. Harper's going to get a mega deal, but Betts is going to want, he's going to want that kind of money too. And if I'm the Red Sox, this is a guy that I invest in. It is. What kind of mega deal is it going to take? We'll see. I mean, the money could get really ridiculous here. It really could. These contracts keep going up and up. And for Harper, who's just, I think, wildly inconsistent average-wise. He's got the youth and he's got the talent, but he's been all over the place, I think, with the bat. For Mookie, he's been, I think, pretty consistent, you know, and a guy that, again, led the majors in average. He leads the major leagues in WAR, which is that advanced stat that everybody sort of gets all wild about, wins above replacement. He's tops in the major leagues, so
I look at Harper, too, as a guy. I just, because of his build, I mean, he's like so muscular. I just feel like he's a guy that eventually is going to break down. Guys with that type of build usually break down earlier than guys that are a little bit more, I guess, fluidly built, if I can put it that way, like Mookie. So that worries me about a guy like Harper.
Yeah, and 10-year deals, too. I mean, those are just 10-year contracts are some of the worst that you can sign in sports. If I'm the Red Sox, if I'm negotiating with Mookie, I want to give him the annual value. You want to give him the annual money that he wants, but 10 years on a contract, that's I don't know what it's going to take. Maybe it's seven. Maybe it's I don't know. That's seven.
Last guy the Red Sox may have given a 10-year deal was Dan Duquette to Manny Ramirez. It was 10 years, $200 million.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and it didn't last. It didn't go the whole time. Manny's deal was, I mean, Manny gave you a lot. Believe
he
me,
did.
He gave you a
he
lot.
He did
for a 10-year deal. That actually was. That's probably one of the
better ones.
Better ones. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. But I look at deals like an Albert Pujols with the Angels. I mean,
A-Rod.
A-Rod. You know, you knew Albert Pujols when he signs with the Angels. He's not going 10 years.
Right.
No way. You know, his best years were in St. Louis. A-Rod with his 10-year deal, you know, that was moved around, and he goes to the Yankees, whatever. And so, you know, that was one, too. I look at hockey, the one that I think it was the original deal that was it Kovalchuk that got it? I'm trying to think of when he signed with the Devils. I think it was Kovalchuk that got a 10-year deal. I don't think that lasted. I mean, there's a lot that happens in 10 years in life with anything. So a 10-year deal is scary. Somebody's going to give it to him, though. Somebody's going to give it to Harper. Whether it's the Yankees, whether it's the, I tend to think that maybe the Philadelphia Phillies is a spot that maybe he goes. I think maybe the Phillies have the money to give to him.
His personality may match Philly too.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to see him re-sign with the Nationals. I think it's good to have a guy like that in a market like that. He's your superstar, and so if he stays with the Nationals, they offered him a big time deal and he turned it down. So we'll see if he goes back there. The Yankees, though, I don't know. If they give it to him, you're never surprised with the Yankees.
Yep.
You know, they have the money, obviously. It's the New York Yankees. But I don't know. And I tend to think maybe they give the money and the deal at Machado. Maybe Machado's
that's,
the guy that they
that's
go
what, That's what you keep reading, that
yeah,
the Yankees
right?
still want him. I don't like that dude, man. I just don't. Maybe it's because I'm a Red
either.
Sox fan and there's that hatred toward him because
either.
Of that whole incident dating back to last year in Baltimore. But I don't
He's
know.
A dog. He's a dog, man.
Well, that's what I don't like about him. We saw some of that dog come out in the World Series. So I almost hope that the Yankees sign him and that he kind of infects that clubhouse adversely.
That's your hope if you're a Red Sox fan. Machado rubs me the wrong way because he's just got this, like, this air that I am the best thing that there is. And he really isn't as good as he makes it out to be, you know, and he sucked. He sucked for the Dodgers in the World Series. He really did.
The bottom line is the Yankees need pitching.
Yeah, they do.
They don't need another bat.
Absolutely.
They need pitching. That's what they need. That's why they didn't beat the Red Sox. I said it all season long. I said their starting rotation is incredibly average. I said if Severino is your best player, then, you know, how good are you?
You getting a phone call there, Scott?
I am getting a phone call.
I'm like, where is the
Hey, hold on, I'll be right back.
Where's the Brown fight song coming from?
Cordishi out.
Oh my goodness. All right, let's take a break so Scott can answer his phone call and we can get Joe McDonald from The Athletic on the line. He'll join us next to talk about the Bruins to wrap up Southern New England Sports Saturday on WEEI.
If you can